Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, Sunday night football in the nation's capital, not a good night once again for the Green Bay Packers. 42-24, a defeat at the hands of the Washington Redskins. The Packers now 4-6 on the season, four consecutive losses, staring at a two-game deficit in the division. With the division leader will be 7-4 after Thanksgiving Day when the Lions and Vikings play one another. So just a huge hill to climb here for the Packers, and this team just can't seem to find a victory.
No, it's been a struggle. And, you know, one of the things you and I talked about last week on this show and, you know, some of the things we did on the website was that need to play a complete game. And we kind of saw it creep up again where, you know, the defense held Washington for the most part in the first quarter, but then the offense has three consecutive three and outs. The offense starts to kick things in gear, and then at the same time, Washington's offense gets rolling under Kirk Cousins. So that combination, the big plays, the third down conversions, I think, you know, there's a lot of things to talk about in this loss, but those are the two biggest areas. It came down to big plays and third down conversions, and Washington won the battle.
Yeah, for sure. When you talk about those big plays that the defense was allowing, you were hoping, obviously, that the return of Clay Matthews to the defense would help the pass rush. We see Nick Perry get a sack on the very first possession for the Redskins, but only one other sack by the defense the rest of the day. A quarterback in Cousins who is not a scrambler, not very mobile, a classic pocket passer. The Packers simply didn't get enough pressure on him to make him shift his feet or, as Mike McCarthy says, get off the spot. And when he's able to set his feet in the pocket and the Packers secondary is struggling with the matchups, we talked all last week about how this was going to be a difficult matchup for the Packers defense with all the weapons that Cousins has. And he used pretty much all of them, whether he went to Jordan Reed or Jamison Crowder, Pierre Garçon. They were making big plays left and right, especially in that second half. And the Packers were just hoping for the defense to get that one stop when it was a one-score game to give the ball back to Aaron Rodgers with a chance for one more score to perhaps take the lead, and the offense never got that chance.
Yeah, and I think the sentiment in the locker room afterwards from the defensive side was a lot of frustration from that reason. Because you look at it, I think they had confidence in their offense at that point in the game that if you got the ball back to them, they were going to score. And they couldn't get that one stop. They did get him to a fourth down on one occasion in Washington's territory. I think it was at the 41, but Kirk Cousins goes for the sneak. The drive continues. Five consecutive scoring possessions, four touchdowns in the second half. The production you talk about, some big explosive plays both in the run and the pass. And that was enough to fend off the challenge from Green Bay. And then, Jared Cook had a great performance, 105 yards, touchdown in his first game back from injury, but then ends up having the fumble, and that was pretty much all she wrote.
Yeah, this Packers defense, I don't even know what to say about it, really. When they're just searching for answers, and you know, I don't know if anybody in the secondary was spared a bad play. I talked before about how the pass rush didn't hold up its end of the bargain, and when in the second half alone, the Washington Redskins hit four big plays on the defense, three big passes and one long run. Those four plays accounted for 233 yards. Now, 233 yards in the second half would be a rough enough performance, but when it's 233 yards on four plays, two of those going for touchdowns and the other two getting the ball inside the five-yard line to set up two other touchdowns, you're just not giving the offense a chance. And Aaron Rodgers talked about, yes, the offense needs to start better. Three straight three and outs is not the way to start the game. But at the end of the day, as we've seen in some of these other games, the defense needed a stop at a crucial time to give Rodgers, when the offense is rolling, a chance to possibly win the game, and it couldn't get the job done.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you have to look at from, if you flip it and you look at Washington, that's what they did for Kirk Cousins. I mean, their defense gave up a lot of yards there, particularly in the second half when you look at the big plays from Cook and Randall Cobb broke free for a couple. Devontae Adams had a couple nice long gains. But what happened was when it came down to crunch time, they got that final stop and they ended the ball game. It seemed to me if the Packers could have just found one of those, if they had just been able to hold one of them off, they had a chance at this thing because Washington actually did go for two twice, failed on both.
Yeah.
So if the Packers, after that 6-yard touchdown pass to to Cook, if they get a stop, not only do they have a chance to retake the lead, they end up getting a, you know, a 2-point advantage. It isn't even like they're just trying to tie it.
Right.
If they would have just gone for the field goals, so, or the extra points. So it is what it is, but I mean, it's just, it's almost, you look at the defense and the injuries factor. I mean, they lose Demetri Goodson now. Blake Martinez goes out.
Yeah.
It's been that kind of season. And when you lose players and when you're down that far into the depth chart at some positions, people have to step up and they just didn't make enough plays.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we've got plenty more to break down from the Sunday Night Football defeat in Washington, D.C. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz, and Wes, sticking with the theme of the struggles on defense. During this four-game losing streak, we've seen opposing quarterbacks, really three of the four games, put up, I guess you'd call it almost astronomical passer ratings. And it goes hand-in-hand with the fact that in those three games out of the four, the Packers' defense has not generated a single turnover.
Yeah.
The only quarterback not to put up a really big-time rating in this losing streak was Andrew Luck, and Ha Ha Clinton Dix intercepted him twice, and that had a big, big impact in that ball game. But watching a Packers' defense struggle this much to generate any turnovers, as I wrote in my my game editorial on the long bus ride late last night from the stadium out to the airport as we headed home, this is just not a Packers defense when they can't generate turnovers. It's not what Mike McCarthy's built this program and its success on, and being minus six for the season in turnover margin is just not where you expect Green Bay to be, and really it's maybe the biggest reason that that you don't expect the Packers to be where they are right now, which is 4-6.
Yeah, and I would think you'd look at this defense this year from a talent perspective is much more talented, and statistically has put up better numbers than the 2011 team that finished 32nd in total yards, but that team also led the league in interceptions that
yep.
year. So it was about, even if you are giving up yards, being able to give the ball back to your offense. And that's one thing they just haven't been able to do. You see, when you had the run defense performing the way it was up until when Kelly had that 66-yard run down the field, that was kind of a game-breaker for them. The defense really had done a good job of curtailing him. That's the starting point, being able to stop him, keep him in third and long situations. But one thing we've seen during this run is, in addition to them being able to convert some third and manageables, there's been some third and long conversions as well. Cousins hit him again on that a little bit yesterday. So that's really the thing, is that you have the first down, stopping the run, being able to get off the field on third down, and in between turning over the football. And all three of those things just have come into a line for most of the season.
Yeah, the third down defense really was a tough spot. I believe one of Washington's touchdowns, if I'm not mistaken, was on a 3rd and 11.
Yeah.
You've got a chance to get off the field, and not only do you give up the first down, but you give up a big play for a touchdown. It's
right.
It's almost a really a double whammy there. And the other part of, and again, I included this in my editorial as well, the other part of Mike McCarthy football that is not happening here in 2016 for the Packers is winning the big play equation. Mike McCarthy talks about turnover margin and big play production like fundamentals.
Yeah, right.
He talks about those as fundamentals of the game, like blocking and tackling and catching the ball. That's how you have to win. And yesterday, Sunday night, the Packers had six plays on offense of 20 yards or more. The Redskins had six plays of 20 yards or more. The difference in those six plays was 74 yards, because the Redskins' big plays were that much bigger and that much more damaging. And when you're losing the turnover battle and when you're losing the big play equation, it's just not the Packers team that we've seen for the last decade here in Green Bay.
No, and that was exciting. When you look at Washington and the weapons that they have, I mean, they complement themselves really well in terms of, I mean, we've seen Jordan Reed now twice in 2016. Each time
yeah.
he was incredibly explosive and impressive across the middle. DeSean Jackson, Jamison Crowder, I think, has developed really nicely into a really big difference maker for them as well. So you give credit to them in terms of the guys that they have that are making plays, but the Packers have to do the same thing. I mean, you have to find ways to stop those situations, and if a play does break, being able to contain it. The two things Capers talks about from the beginning are big plays, explosive plays, and also being able to not have you know, back-breaking penalties in terms of 15-yard penalties.
Yeah.
Both of those showed up again, and ultimately the decision was made.
Yeah, and when you talk about as we've discussed for several weeks now, this team's margin for error is so small. There, it seems like every mistake always comes back to bite them, whether it's Mike Daniels getting the roughing the passer on third down. When you have a chance to get off the field, it ends up leading to a field goal. You have Blake Martinez gets called for pass interference when it was an incomplete pass that looked like it wasn't going to be caught. And that's a chance to get off the field. The penalty keeps the drive alive, and the Redskins get a touchdown. You look at the offensive side of the ball. In the first half, you have 2nd and 3 on the 6-yard line. You end up settling for a field goal there when you have a great chance to score a touchdown. You have a really impressive drive in the third quarter when you had to start on your own 2-yard line because of a special teams miscue. You're starting on your own 2. You drive all the way to the other team's red zone. You bog down, and then you miss the field goal. You drive 80, 85 yards and get no points out of it. Those are the missed opportunities this team simply can't afford because, as I say, the margin for error just isn't there.
Well, we always talk about the little things. I mean, that's a big topic. I mean, and people throw that out there. It's about the little things. And I know sometimes fans think that that's a cliche, but it's really true when you think of, you know, Jeff Janis not running up right away to field the kickoff, and the Packers have to start at the 2-yard line. You drive the length of the field, and then you miss the 36-yard field goal. You're able to stop them, then you have a penalty that comes up. Those are the difference in a game, and it might not be one or two of them that ultimately turn the tide of a decision or, you know, of an outcome, but they are the things and the building blocks towards how you win and lose in this league. And it's something the Packers, consistency, fundamentals, that's where the lapses have been over the last couple of weeks. You can talk about the origin of that, why that is, but the fact of the matter is they've happened too often, and their opponents have been able to take advantage of it.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, with that, we'll throw it to a break. We'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here. Wes Hodkiewicz there. And Wes, if we take a look at the big picture, as I mentioned earlier in the show, the Packers have lost 4 straight. They're 4-6. They're now 2 games behind the co-leaders in the NFC North, the Lions and the Vikings. And one of those teams will be 7-4 after Thanksgiving Day when they play one another in Detroit. As Mike McCarthy said right after the game, the Packers' backsides are up against the wall here at 4-6. And you know, realistically, not only do the Packers need to somehow not only find a way to win one game, but get on some kind of a run here, they're going to need help as well. The Vikings and the Lions, somebody is going to be in charge of this division after Thanksgiving Day, and the Packers are going to be playing uphill the rest of the season.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, that's the way things have kind of played out, and Jordy Nelson has been asked the question, it seems like, the last 3 weeks in terms of, well, you're still in this thing, and he said yesterday, he kind of reiterated the notion that we're not really in anything unless we start winning some football games. We can't worry about that. That's not the concern. The goal this week was to win. The goal last week was to win for the sake of winning, for the sake of being able to stay above 500 and keep yourself in this race and trying to become a better team throughout the course of the season. But, Mike, you know, you go back to when you and I were talking back in the spring when the schedule came out. This was the grind. This was the gauntlet. This was the test in terms of this November skid. This is not an easy road to be on. So for the Packers to – for that also to hit at this time where the Packers are trying to find themselves, it's been a challenge. And it's something that I think it's either going to make or break you, obviously, going forward. And as Mike McCarthy said, they're backed up right now. So how are you going to respond?
Yeah, for sure. And we'll find out. I think personally, and I'm not just trying to be a sunny side up kind of guy, I think this Packers team has plenty of fight left. We saw a lot of fight in the team on Sunday night in Washington. The this game was kind of a flip of the script from the previous games in that it got away in the fourth quarter.
Right.
The game was really very tight all the way along, and then it got away from them with the big plays in the fourth quarter, as opposed to the previous couple of games where you were playing from multiple scores behind from early on. We've seen the Packers continue to fight. They're just not getting the results, and you know, they're obviously playing with a lot of young players on defense. Still hoping to get some more guys back, but as you mentioned, now some other guys continue to go out with injuries. It's just been a revolving door on defense, and quite frankly, the defense just doesn't have anything to hang its hat on right now.
Right. Yeah. And what's interesting, Mike, and we were talking about this back in September when the defense was off to a really strong start. Everybody's wondering where the offense is. Well, things are going to change throughout the course of the season. Yeah. Suddenly, the Packers are 13th in total yards of offense, 10th in passing. They found themselves, and I think Jared Cook's emergence kind of plays into that a little bit in terms of finding a rhythm and an identity. I thought James Starks had a big productive game in terms of the kind of game you'd want him to have, being a factor in both the run and the pass. So it's interesting when you look through the total scope of 16 games how things can change, because at the beginning of the year it was, well, what is the offense going to do to develop an identity? And it was the defense trying to hold court. And suddenly it flips.
Yeah.
And now the defense is trying to rally again here for this final stretch.
Yeah, for sure. Well, before we go to a break here, Wes, we'll take care of some sponsor business. We all know that Green Bay fans are the most devoted fans in the league, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious chunky beef with country vegetables. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, you mentioned in the last segment about the offense, Jared Cook's return from injury. A bright spot certainly from this ball game. He goes over 100 yards receiving, makes a couple of big plays down the field when they got some one-on-one matchups that they thought were favorable. Unfortunately, the big night is marred by the fumble in the fourth quarter, but Jared Cook looked like everything the Packers were hoping for when they signed him in the offseason. Now we're finally seeing it after, you know, him having missed so much time dating back to that ankle injury in week 3. But I have a feeling we're going to see quite a bit of Jared Cook here in the final 6 games of the season.
Yeah, it was impressive on 2 accounts. One, he has 6 weeks off, 6 games off. And yet he was able to maintain that chemistry that he had with Rodgers. And he said, you know, they were constantly talking throughout the game, what's working for them. In 2, as Jordy Nelson said afterwards, I mean, he kept them in the game. He was the guy that was sort of, you know, giving them that shot in the arm throughout.
Yep.
Beginning, you know, you go to that, I believe it was that third quarter, the 47-yard catch after they're backed up at their own 2.
Yeah, it was third down at the 9-yard line there.
Yeah, third and 3 at the 9.
Yep.
And just a beautiful throw from Aaron Rodgers over the shoulders, just lays it right in there perfectly, times it out well, and then he hits him again for 29 yards later in the contest. That's the Jared Cook difference. That's what he can give you, that type of tight end. And the thing that's nice about him with the way that they're playing right now is he is sort of a pseudo receiver. So when they spread it out, he's natural operating over on the boundary if he has to, like he did on that 47-yard catch. So I think that's really the biggest thing, is finally being able to see what he can bring to this offense, because we've really been talking about it for the last, you know, 6, 7, 8 months.
Yeah, for sure. And Cook wasn't the only guy to make some big plays on offense as well. We saw Randall Cobb with a couple of big plays. Yeah. Devontae Adams had an explosive play. James Starks found himself all alone, you know, wide open in the right flat, and marched in for a 31-yard touchdown. This, as you mentioned in the last segment, this Packers offense is really starting to find itself. And when you look at Sunday night's game, they score 24 points. They have a drive bogged down inside the 10-yard line where you have to settle for a field goal. You have another long drive where you miss a field goal. They left some points out there, even as well as they were moving the ball. So when you look at those opportunities that were missed and the fact that you started the game with three straight three and outs and really had no production at all in the first quarter. This offense week after week to me seems to be getting closer and closer and closer to what we've seen in the past. They still haven't put it together for all 60 minutes and they need help from the defense in order to win games, but the offense is getting closer.
It is, and you know, Aaron Rodgers made a lot of plays from the pocket in Washington as well. I thought that was a positive sign that, you know, he didn't just have to extend stuff. Guys were getting open that he can get on the first and second reads. Another sort of an anomaly at this point of the season, Devontae Adams and Jordy Nelson both have 53 catches for 663 yards. Just totally strange that that's worked out that way, but it speaks, one, to Nelson being able to come back, 9 touchdowns now, which I believe is still leading the NFL in his first year back from the knee injury. Devontae Adams stepping up, even though in this game it was probably a little bit more about Cobb, Starks, and Jared Cook. But Starks, that was an interesting play too, the 31-yard. I have no doubt that I probably would have dropped the ball if it was thrown to me. But I would be curious if I could have gotten in the end zone there. I mean, they completely blew the coverage, and Starks just was off to the races after that.
Yep.
And, you know, those were the kind of plays. It was interesting. There were a lot of explosive plays for Washington, but the Packers were able to kind of match them in that way. And that's the reason why, even though the score was getting up there, that they were able to sort of stay in this thing as long as they did.
Yeah, and it's just a matter of the Packers being able to, at some point, they need to be able to seize the momentum in a game yeah. at the right time. And what we've seen is, you know, the Redskins, they had a big penalty on a fourth down in the second quarter that extended a drive. They blow the coverage on Starks and give up a touchdown. But every time the defense made a mistake for Washington, the offense answered and kept the momentum in their favor. The Packers are the team that's not doing that. When there's a mistake on one side of the ball, then the momentum just can't shift back Green Bay's way, and it's why they're in the throes of this four-game losing streak right now.
Yeah, those are the challenges you face every season, and Packers just have to find a way to battle through this now.
Yeah, all right. Well, with that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com, on Twitter. He's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford. You can find the team account at Packers. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.